Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is NBA Today, hosted by Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
We had a beautiful show laid out for you that was supposed to come on in about an hour, and then the NBA happened because Kevin Durant has requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets.
This is Kevin freaking Durant.
There was a sense of inevitability that this day was coming.
Woj has reported Phoenix is a possible place.
Bridges, possibly DeAndre Ayton in a sign and trade.
But I have to tell you, my phone has been exploding.
More than half the league has already called Brooklyn.
This trade is going to be so massive. Talent and picks and swaps.
Everyone on their roster is going to be available.
This has to go down as one of the most epic failures in the history of this league, does it not?
I have to ask the question.
And Kyrie and Bron in L.A. I'll retire.
Welcome to NBA Today. I'm Malika Andrews. It was just over 2 weeks ago. It was the start of free agency, and it was completely overshadowed by Kevin Durant asking to be traded out of Brooklyn. And you can see here some of the biggest storylines that have happened each day in between. You can see over there, you see Rudy, you see Zion Williamson, Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard. Obviously no Kevin Durant, but you see, today, it's the 14th. There's something that we need to add to that date because just moments ago, we have breaking news from our senior NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. Restricted free agent center DeAndre Ayton has agreed to a four-year, $133 million maximum offer sheet with the Indiana Pacers. His agents have told ESPN, Phoenix now has 48 hours to match the largest offer sheet in NBA history. Senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski will be joining us very shortly. And now we welcome in senior writer Brian Windhorst. Brian, what do you make of the situation unfolding and us seeing DeAndre Ayton sign that offer sheet?
Yeah, the Pacers have been lining this up since the first day of free agency. They met with DeAndre Ayton coming right out of the gates, expressed their interest in him. And as the Suns elected really not to seriously engage on the type of contract that DeAndre Ayton wanted, the Pacers made moves to make this possible, specifically trading Malcolm Brogdon to the Boston Celtics to open up the space to do this. Now, Malika, the Pacers don't like to do offer sheets. How much do they not like to do them? This is the second one they've done in 40 years. And the last one was for a very low-level role player. So they wanted to negotiate a sign and trade with Phoenix and had discussions to that end. They couldn't agree to terms. There was some consideration that this could be a part of a bigger deal. We've talked about that on this show this week. But the Pacers are tired of waiting, and they went forward and made this move. Now, the real question is, do the Suns match? The concept of losing a player like DeAndre Ayton for nothing, which would happen if they didn't match in 48 hours, would be a devastating blow to Phoenix. We almost never see the loss of a restricted free agent to this level. But they do not believe that Ayton is a max player. They didn't believe he was a max player during the extension talks last fall. They do not believe he's a max player now. Matching this would make DeAndre Ayton untradeable until January 15th, so he couldn't be used in any kind of Kevin Durant trade, even if they kept him. And it would push the Suns about $15 million into the luxury tax, a very penal place that they have almost never gone before. So we are all going to be having our popcorn watching the Suns maneuver when they get this offer sheet and we see what bells and whistles are in it to see how toxic the Pacers might have made it.
Very, very interesting. So once again, this means they have 48 hours that we get to watch that the Phoenix Suns could potentially match this offer sheet or DeAndre Ayton could head to the Pacers. And you said something very key, be untradeable, Brian. Once again, we are waiting for senior insider Adrian Wojnarowski to join us with more details. But now I want to bring in one of our analysts. It is Tim Legler to join Brian and I in this conversation. Legs, what's your initial reaction to this offer sheet being extended?
Well, I'm happy for DeAndre Ayton. I think, you know, the way he's played over the last couple of seasons put him in this category to get this kind of contract. But Wendy hit it on the head. Phoenix has been adamant from the beginning. They didn't view him as a max player. And you're now talking about a guy that's going to make $33 million a year as a center in a league that has continually gotten away from that position in terms of its importance to winning. Now, I know there are some seven-footers around the league. And, in fact, the last three, the top three MVP vote-getters were all seven-footers. But look at the dynamic versatility that guys like Giannis and Jokic and Embiid have. That's not what we're talking about here. DeAndre Ayton is a very good player on both ends of the floor. But Indiana clearly just desperate to fill a need. And now this is a problem for Phoenix because I don't think they want to match. And this is their biggest chip in any sort of deal involving Kevin Durant. So this has really now pushed everything right at the doorstep of the Phoenix Suns. What are they going to do? It would be very surprising if they matched it unless they knew for a fact that they could then, in fact, trade him.
We keep using the word surprising to describe if Phoenix were over the next 48 hours to match this offer. Brian, can you just walk us back through? They had several occasions over the course of the season where they could have agreed to an extension. That didn't happen. Can you remind our viewers why?
Yeah, so last fall, they had up until a date in October. I can't remember what the exact day was, basically the eve of the season. And they just were never very close. DeAndre Ayton and his agents really felt like he should get a max offer. Number one pick in the draft, who's had very productive years, proven to be very versatile in the defensive end, which is valuable in today's day and age, despite moving away from centers. They were determined to get that max, and the Suns just didn't feel he was that player. The Suns felt like in their system that they can find effective centers that were just less than this cost. Last year they had Bismack Biyombo had successful games. They had JaVale McGee have successful play. They even had Jalen Smith, sort of their fourth string center, play really well at times when Ayton was injured. And they just didn't value him at that level. And so they really were never close. In fact, there was quite a bit of animosity that emerged from those talks. Throughout the season, it was an underlying factor, although I don't think it affected the way Ayton played. And they started off on that same animosity in this negotiation. They were never close to coming to terms with Ayton directly. It was always about whether he was going to get an offer sheet. Indiana emerged in the last week or so as the primary place. And, you know, there were offers there, and there were options there, yeah, for Phoenix that they maybe could have done. But they just really held their ground, and they put themselves in this position. And it is fascinating. There's a wide array of guessing and opinion on what the Suns are going to do here.
So I do want to bring in our senior front office insider, Bobby Marks, to further contextualize what we're seeing happen here. And as we're reacting to this in real time, so I just want to read a piece of Adrian Wojnarowski's story that he just put out as he dials in, because I know that he is right now. The biggest offer sheet signed by a team that wasn't matched, it was Harrison Barnes signed by the Dallas Mavericks for 4 years, $94.4 million. That was in 2016. And then the Golden State Warriors, that was when they signed Kevin Durant as a free agent. Bobby, the Suns have until what, Saturday at 11:59 to make this decision. What more can you tell us?
Yeah, I mean, it would be the largest offer sheet, you know, certainly matched here. I think when you're looking at it from Phoenix's perspective, they had all the leverage here, Malika, until DeAndre Ayton signed this offer sheet with Indiana here. And I think if you're from the Suns' perspective, you either go into the luxury tax for the first time since 2009-10 and you match the number one pick in the draft that you picked 4 years ago, or you simply let him walk for nothing. Once he agrees to this offer sheet, the sign and trades are off the table. This is a binding contract here. And I think it's going to be interesting for Indiana because they have a little bit of work to do to get to that $30.9 million number. They've got to clear out some salary, which they certainly can do here. But if I'm on that Phoenix front office, I match, and then I figure out post-January 15th what a trade looks like for DeAndre Ayton. Remember, he has veto power on any trade, and he cannot be traded to the Indiana Pacers for a full year here. But I think you have to match. I think you figure it out later here because, as I said, you let him go, you're over the salary cap. There is no center out there unless you think it's Bismack Biyombo as your starting center.
Interesting. Tim, I'm wondering, can you just remind folks what player exactly, what strengths, and how would DeAndre Ayton fit if, in fact, he were to head to the Pacers?
Well, I think this is a guy that has developed into a really dynamic offensive player. I never thought he was utilized enough in Phoenix. He never got enough touches for my liking. The nights that he did, he was incredibly efficient. I mean, he finishes basically everything in the paint. He's got a soft little floater that he can shoot from 8 to 10 feet. He can even make a pick and pop, you know, 15, 18-foot jump shot. He's a decent foul shooter. And then he's got good feet defensively and is a good rim protector. You know, you think about what we're describing here. You're talking about the number one pick, a center. He basically played very well for a team that won 64 games that had the one seed by a mile in the entire NBA. And the Phoenix Suns say, nah, you know what? Not really our liking to give this guy max money. You wonder, though, if there was a number, if they had gotten closer to it, they could have avoided all of this and re-signed DeAndre Ayton and maybe made a deal for Kevin Durant a little bit easier than it's going to be now. So this is just really interesting the way this has ramped up the pressure on the Phoenix Suns now over the next couple of days.
How would you expect DeAndre Ayton to fit with the Pacers?
He's going to fit in extremely well. Look, Rick Carlisle's been around, so he knows exactly what he plans to do to utilize him. That's a team that needs more offensive punch, period. And I think Rick Carlisle understands they've got to get a lot better defensively. And DeAndre Ayton, as Wendy pointed out, DeAndre Ayton is pretty good at jumping out and at least laterally staying with a lot of guards, tracking them to the rim. He provides a nice last line of defense. But I think they would plan on using DeAndre Ayton for 12, 15 touches or shot attempts minimum per night. That was more of an anomaly in Phoenix. Or there were nights he would get 6-8 touches and you'd watch the game and just wonder why he was so forgotten about. I don't think that would be the case here. When you give a guy this much money, you really want him to play well for you. So look for Indiana to get very creative in ways to get the ball in his hands, because he shoots such a high percentage from the field. It's a pretty good option offensively if you can get him a decent look.
It's going to be interesting, but Phoenix still has 2 days to decide whether or not they are going to match. We're going to take a quick break here, and on the other side of it, our senior NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, the man who broke the news, he is going to join us to break all of that down. That's coming up next on NBA Today.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Oh, Ayton on the cut and the jam. So skilled. Turnaround jumper. Good for DeAndre Ayton. And Ayton oops the alley.
A lot of credit on the way he's playing right now.
Welcome back to NBA Today, where we continue to cover the breaking news from our senior NBA insider that restricted free agent center DeAndre Ayton has agreed to an offer sheet. And I want to bring in the man who broke the news himself. It is Woj, who is joining us by phone. Woj, what more can you tell us about this offer sheet?
Well, I mean, Malika, it's really been a year plus in the making. You know, Phoenix simply last year, when DeAndre Ayton was up for his rookie extension, would not offer him a max contract, simply did not value him at that level. And Ayton's agents, Bill Duffy, Nima Namakian, listen, I think they had confidence they could go out on the market and do exactly what they're doing today, and that's get DeAndre Ayton a max offer sheet. 4 years, $133 million. And now, you know, the question is, do the Phoenix Suns match this sheet? Keep DeAndre Ayton at a number that, you know, they essentially challenged Ayton to go get, and now he's done that. And obviously, if they don't match this sheet, they lose him for nothing, and that is significant for a team that has championship aspirations in Phoenix. If they keep him, well, then they can trade him, certainly after January 15th. They can't trade him to Indiana for a full year, and now that's the question for this Suns team. But for the Pacers, listen, DeAndre Ayton loved the idea of playing with Tyrese Halliburton. This is you certainly see the rebuild going on in Indiana. A lot of interesting young players. And DeAndre Ayton is just going to turn 24 next week. So this, for the Pacers, is making a run at, you know, a young player that could be a centerpiece along with Halliburton as they reshape this roster in Indiana under new coach, or second-year coach now, Rick Carlisle.
What happens, Woj, now over the next 2 days if we're talking about the Phoenix Suns here?
Well, listen, they can obviously extend this out until Saturday at midnight. Until DeAndre Ayton signs the offer sheet, which I'm told he has not done yet. It's expected it'll be as soon as today. They can work out a sign and trade where essentially, you know, they can get back assets in Phoenix if they simply don't want to match the sheet and don't want to give him this contract. Is there a deal, an agreement that could be worked out? But the expectation now is that Ayton is going to sign the offer sheet. He has agreed to it. And now Phoenix, once he signs that sheet, you know, they essentially have, you know, they can typically teams don't tell the other we're matching it right away. They let it kind of hang there for a couple days. It used to be a lot longer. It used to be several days. Or it was longer than the 2 days. But right now, they've got until Saturday night at midnight Eastern time to match this offer sheet. And this is certainly a Phoenix organization. They drafted DeAndre at number one. He's been very productive there. But salary caps are an allocation of money, and they've certainly committed a lot to Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, and there was only so far they were willing to go, and I think they were dubious that DeAndre Ayton could get a max offer sheet out in the marketplace, but Bill Duffy, Nima Nemeke, and his agents were able to do that, and now we see what Phoenix's decision is on matching the sheet.
Well, over the last couple of weeks, Woj, as you've been on this show, we've discussed sort of how Kevin Durant has been a domino that held up the rest of the market, but it seems that that is no longer the case. So when you're looking at the full landscape of the league, you mentioned the possibility of a sign and trade. What happens now?
Well, listen, once he signs this offer sheet in Indiana, Malika, you know, it takes him out of the conversation to be part of a bigger trade, either with Phoenix, if they were trying to still do a multi-team deal for a Kevin Durant. But the sign-and-trade right now would be, if they were to do one before he signs the deal, I have no indication that that's going to happen, and he's planning to sign this offer sheet, then, you know, he's either going to be in Indiana when they don't match it, or it's matched, he goes to Phoenix, and then neither team can trade him. Certainly, once he signs the offer sheet, he can't be traded again until January 15th in either place.
Interesting. Woj, thank you so much for joining us. We will be keeping a very close eye on your reporting as this continues to unfold. Now, I do want to bring in our front office insider, Bobby Marks. Bobby, we just heard from Woj that the offer sheet, it hasn't actually been signed yet, but the expectation, all intentions are, Woj is reporting, that that is going to happen. How do you look at the situation?
Yeah, I look at it that we've got an 8-hour window right now to possibly get a sign and trade worked out if that's what the Phoenix Suns want to do. And if we get to midnight tonight, that Ayton will sign that offer sheet, and now they'll have to make a decision as far as to keep him or let him leave for nothing. And I think it's important that, because the clock officially doesn't start until midnight. So we do have this little bit of a small window here if there's still a sign and trade to work out. But remember, we're 2 weeks into free agency right now. If there was a sign and trade to be worked out, it could have been worked out a week ago here. So maybe that they feel the pressure that to maybe recoup him for nothing here. But if there's nothing to be agreed upon, we wait for the next 2 days what the Suns will do.
Well, you have been in these situations, Bobby. You've been in the room making these trades, making these decisions. How would you go about the next couple of hours if you were the Phoenix Suns?
Well, I would probably pass on a sign and trade. I think that's how I'm looking at it, because the likelihood is that you would get a player like Miles Turner back who's on an expiring contract, and now you're going to be faced a year from now as far as possibly paying Turner big money as an unrestricted free agent. And for me, I think you play out the 2 days. I think it will be interesting what will be in that offer sheet, Malika. Will there be a 15% trade bonus? Will there be an advance? I think what you want to do is you want to put the full bells and whistles in this to make it for Phoenix to kind of think twice about here. I think if you're Indiana, I'm looking to probably put a $10 million advance against his salary there. So now if you're Robert Sarver, you're going to have to pay that on to Ayton, you know, on, I guess, August 1st here. So it'll be interesting what it is. You want all the bells and whistles on here, as I said, and I think the trade kicker will probably certainly be something that's included in there.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next 8 hours, what happens over the next 24 hours, and certainly what happens between now and Saturday at just before midnight. All right, we're not done talking about trades, because just because DeAndre Ayton has an offer sheet on the table, well, what is the future for Donovan Mitchell hold? That's coming up next on NBA Today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Donovan Mitchell, he's arguably been the most productive player from the 2017 draft class that we just saw. Markelle Fultz, Lonzo Ball, Jason Tatum, they're the top three picks. Mitchell was the 13th. He leads all players in career points, threes, and steals, and he ranks third in assists. So I now welcome in NBA reporter Tim McMahon. And Tim, our own ESPN senior insider Adrian Wojnarowski, he recently reported that the Utah Jazz, they are taking calls on Donovan Mitchell. What's the latest you are hearing out of Utah on if the Jazz are indeed looking to move Mitchell?
Yeah, and Justin Zanuck and Danny Ainge, when they talked to the media on Saturday, they acknowledged Donovan's not untouchable. Now they tried to say there's no intent to trade him, but certainly that translated to the rest of the NBA of, hey, we're taking calls, get your bids in. And what I'm hearing from folks who have talked to people with the Jazz in Las Vegas is that they say, listen, we basically got 5 first-round picks for Rudy Gobert. We can get more than that for Donovan Mitchell, 6 first-rounders, 7 first-rounders. And obviously, this is a team, you look what they got back for Gobert. It's picks, 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 swings at young talent on controllable contracts and financial relief.
Interesting. So how long do you expect this to play out between Donovan Mitchell, the Utah Jazz, and any other teams that could get involved here?
Well, time is on the Jazz's side. Obviously, training camp doesn't open up for 2.5 months. He does have 3 years plus a player option remaining on his contract. And I think the question is, how patient are the New York Knicks willing to be? They've got everything the Jazz want. Obviously, they've got a huge stockpile of picks. They've been setting things up to make a play for Donovan Mitchell since the day that Leon Rose was hired as Knicks president. If they want to push all those chips to the table, it might not take very long, but we know Danny Ainge's reputation. Trader Danny, as one source told me, wants the house.
Interesting. So stick around, Tim, because I want you to hear some of these proposed trade packages that we have. The Jazz, they are full of draft capital after the Rudy Gobert trade to Minnesota between their own picks, the ones coming from the Timberwolves, the other swaps, trades. The Jazz, 12 first-round picks through the 2029 NBA draft. I mean, even Sam Presti's going, ooh, buddy, all right. Let's bring back in Brian Windhorst along with Bobby Marks and Nick Friedell. We want to play a little game of who says no, all right? So, Bobby, how this is going to work, please pitch us on a Donovan Mitchell trade, and you gentlemen tell me if any one of you think that someone should say no, the teams involved would decline this. So, Bobby, what's the first package here?
Well, the first package is the R.J. Barrett package. Remember, the Knicks have 8 first-round picks that they can include in a trade. So when you look at R.J. Barrett, Derrick Rose, Cam Reddish, we're not giving all 8 first-round picks. 5 first-round picks, including 4 unprotected first. That would go to the Utah Jazz in that type of package there, Malika.
Interesting. All right. So, Tim, would you say no to this, McMahon?
So what I don't know about Utah is if they're interested in a player like RJ Barrett, who is about to finish his rookie contract and is due to get probably a max contract on his next deal. My suspicion is as they're entering a rebuild, they might be hesitant there. So I'm going to say no as Jazz.
Okay. Bobby, what do we got next?
Well, this is the picks package, right? Not all 8, but we're going to put 7 first round picks in the deal, and we're going to do Evan Fournier, Quentin Grimes, and Cam Reddish. I think, Malika, you can swap out Fournier for the expiring contract of Derrick Rose if you want to.
Interesting.
As far as for there. And that actually might be the most appealing package if you're the Utah Jazz.
Mr. Windhorst, I heard you sigh. Are you saying no to this?
So I actually think that this is probably something like the Jazz would want. I think they would want the number 7. To set our all-time record, I think Ainge would love to do that in addition to setting up his team. And I think if you're the Knicks, you're going to say, look, if I'm going to go that deep, if I'm going to give you this many picks, I've got to get more value than just Donovan Mitchell. I've got to offload some salary. In the Gobert deal, it was the Jazz offloading all the salary. They offloaded more than $140 million long-term in that deal. In this case, if you were going to get 7 first-round picks, I definitely want to get off of money, and Evan Fournier would help them get off of money. But it wouldn't surprise me if initially, in initial talks, the Jazz would say, no, we don't want any long-term money. We'd rather have Derrick Rose because he's only got 1 year left on his contract.
Okay, so Bobby, I understand you have one more. Bring on the heat. What you got?
We got the South Beach package here, and I think it certainly starts with Tyler Hero. Remember, we just talked about R.J. Barrett as far as Hero's extension eligible. Can sign that extension this offseason. Duncan Robinson, Nikola Jovic. They can only trade 3 first-round picks, so it's 2023, 2027, and 2029. They would have to lift the protection they owe Oklahoma City in that 2025 first they owe them. But that's basically the most that Miami could offer Utah in a Mitchell trade.
Mr. Friedell, your family's from down in Florida. What do you think of this one?
The Heat would do this deal in an instant, I feel like, Malika, but they need more picks. And if we're going to make this happen in Miami, they've got to find a way to get some more draft capital in play. I think Mitchell would fit great with Jimmy Butler, but from all the offers out there, I think it's going to be tough unless Miami makes a couple more deals to get the first rounders that Ainge and the Jazz are looking for.
Interesting. All right, Tim McMahon, since you're our resident Utah insider here, are there any sleeper teams packages that we're not potentially thinking about that you have heard buzzing around out there?
Well, I think the one scenario that is interesting is a multi-team deal that sends Donovan Mitchell to Brooklyn. And that's complicated for a lot of reasons anytime you get multiple teams involved, but also the simple fact that you cannot have Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons on the roster. You cannot have two guys on rookie max deals, both traded there. I tell you what, if Ben Simmons landed in Utah, though, it would be fascinating for a number of reasons. And I do wonder, coming off of a year off, if he would be eligible for Rookie of the Year again. Last time he took a year off, he won Rookie of the Year. Can he repeat? It's a question. Bobby might have the answer. I don't know. I'm asking.
What is going on?
I don't think anybody's having the answer.
Utah. Mr. Windhorst, is there anything else that you are looking at or hearing as we talk about Donovan Mitchell as it pertains to any potential trades?
Yeah, so I think really what league executives are saying, Malika, is that this is all going to be a maneuver to get the most they possibly can out of the New York Knicks. They know the New York Knicks are probably the most desperate team here. They are the ones who are in need of a star, and they have the most ammunition to trade. And so whatever might happen in the coming days, any saber rattling the Jazz do, any other leaks that come out there, may all be aimed at getting the most out of the team that has the most to pay. And so I do think there's a good chance Donovan Mitchell is going to end up on the Knicks at the end of this. And I think we're going to see a historic pick haul, even if the Knicks try to play hardball between now and then.
We've already seen a historic pick haul this offseason. Could we be seeing another one coming from the same team? Tim McMahon, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us. Well, we're all going to see you very soon at your wedding. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
The rest of you, coming up next on NBA Today, we're just minutes away from Spurs legend Tony Parker joining the show. We take a look at his best plays of his career. Keep it locked on NBA Today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're watching NBA Today, live from Los Angeles.
The basket. Tony Parker, as good as it gets. Every big shot from Tony Parker. The San Antonio Spurs are your world champion.
That was amazing. You know, it's nothing compared to winning a championship.
To the MVP of the 2007 NBA Finals.
Les couleurs de la vie que l'on aimerait passer.
He banks it in!
San Antonio is back on top.
Danser sur les ponts de Paris. Sur la...
It's Parker!
The ultimate compliment when they talk about me and when people say he was a winner and he was a champion.
We now welcome in the four-time NBA champion himself. And by the way, he's also the 2007 Finals MVP, Tony Parker. Thank you so much for spending some time with us here on NBA Today.
Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Absolutely. I'm doing so well. Thank you for this. I'm excited to get to chat with you a little bit. I have to ask, there are some athletes, when I chat with them, they say, you know, I think that I don't play basketball anymore, or I haven't even thought about playing basketball. And then there's others that say, nah, I still play a little bit on the side. Where do you fall? What's the best part about being retired?
That my body doesn't hurt anymore, that I can wake up in the morning and not walking like I'm 100 years old.
Well,
so that feels good.
That probably feels pretty good. What's better, the wine or the beaches in retirement?
Both are good. It's a great combination to do both.
Why do you have to choose, right? Let's talk a little bit about the game. Is there an aspect of it that you miss the most?
I guess the competition, you know, competing against the best and competing for a championship, that's what I miss the most. I try to recreate that now in France with the team that I own.
Yeah.
And we're winning championships. So it's kind of the same adrenaline, but it will never be the same as when you're playing, obviously.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned the team that you owned, Asvel, and the grand prize potentially of the 2023 draft is 7'2" Victor Wembanyama. What can you tell us about Victor as a player and then also as a person?
As a person, he's great. He's a great human being. He's a great kid, and he's very, very talented. And it's hard to know like how high he can go. And so that's the beauty of it. And that's why I think every GM in the NBA thinks he's going to be number one. Sky is the limit for him. He can do anything he wants.
Have you seen a player like him before?
Nope. And that's why when people ask me, how can you compare? I'm like, I don't know how to compare. He's very unique because he runs like a guard. He shoots like a guard, but he's 7'2". He's super long. His wingspan is unbelievable. He's got a great motor. He wants to win, and his mental is great too. Mentally, he wants to be the best. So that's the best part of it.
Would you have been able to guard him in the NBA?
I think I would have need Timmy's help on that.
See, there you go. Need Tim's help. Just a little bit. Well, speaking of Tim and your former team, your former coach, Greg Popovich, his coaching tree, it's one of the most established in the NBA. And after the Jazz, they hired Will Hardy. 8 of the 30 head coaches in the league, they've either played for or coached under Pop. So why do you think so many have been so successful in learning from him?
It's unbelievable. I just came back from Vegas. I was in the summer league, and it felt like a big Spurs reunion. And I was with Will Hardy, with Coach Bud and Ime, and yeah. We were all talking about our Spurs days. And I'm super happy for all those guys, because when I came, they're like video coach or assistant. And now to see the NBA Finals, to have Steve and Ime playing against each other, it just shows how great Pop is. You know, I think he's the best coach in the history of the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue with that. There are only 26 players, Tony, in league history that have won more championships than you have. And then your big three and the Warriors' big three, you guys are sort of in the same conversation now, right, based off of wins. But we've also seen some superstars. They join forces, and it doesn't result in one title, let alone a dynasty. Why do you think some super teams have had more success than others?
I think it depends how you handle the pressure. And and if you look at the LeBron's big three, you know, when he joined D-Wade and Chris Bosh, they were ready for it. Ours was different. You know, we came from the draft, so we got a little bit less pressure, I guess. Same for Golden State. But when you have three superstars who accomplished a lot and been all-stars and decided to join together, it's a lot of expectation.
Yeah.
And that's why I always looked at LeBron's career as unbelievable, because he had a lot of pressure coming in the NBA. And man, he delivered. And when he went to Miami, he delivered 2 championships, went to the Lakers, won a championship. It's very hard to win a championship when you have so much expectation.
Yeah, but we saw him do it again and again, deliver again and again. And I know that he's hoping he can deliver at least one more. Tony, I can't let you go without asking about the story that's just dominating the offseason in the NBA, right? Do you have a thought on where Kevin Durant should play next season?
That's a great question. And but it's funny that you asked, because I saw Sean Marks, obviously, and Steve Nash, mm-hmm. who's a great friend. And it's not easy, because you'll never get whatever you do, whatever decision they're going to make or whatever trade they're going to make. If they make a trade, they will never get back what they had with KD. So I told them I will not want to be in their shoes. It's a tough decision to make. KD is one of the best in the history of our game. And I don't know, it's hard to let him go. But hopefully they can find a happy middle for both of them, their franchise and KD.
Absolutely. And Durant, you know, he's one of many players in the NBA. They're feeling empowered to take control of their own careers. And your new venture, it does the same. What can you tell us about North Rock X?
It's my new venture right now. I wanted to give back, you know, give back to the community of basketball. I was tired of seeing people take advantage of the players in the finance world. And it's my way to give back to basketball. And so I've been doing this for 3 years now. And I want to help athletes to make sure they take care of their career, take care of their families. Right now, with the NBA of today, the amounts we're talking about are unbelievable. So I just want to make sure that the guys take care of their wealth.
For you, is that something that you feel you could have benefited from when you were in the NBA?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And the NBA is doing a good job. You know, we have meetings every year talking about finance. But I think we need to take more responsibility to make sure that everybody is taken care of.
Yeah, absolutely. Tony, before we let you go, we do a little segment on this show. It's called The Top of the Top, and it's basically the best of the best. And today's edition, it celebrates the best plays of your career. So I'm just going to tee you up and let you break down each play. Is that all right?
Ooh.
All right, okay. Let's do it. Here's where we're going to start. Let's see it. What do we got? We have your top. Oh, come on. 2005 against the Rockets. You remember this. Walk me through this one.
It's my only good dunk in my whole career, so I can't forget that one. It's my only one.
It's your only one. Do you still think about it ever? I mean, pretty good.
No, it was pretty good. It was funny to see Manu's face after I dunked and Timmy's face, because I didn't have a lot of dunks in my career, but it was by far the best one.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, one of one. It can't be better than that. Well, you had I know you had a lot of top passes. That's something that in your career, it felt like we were seeing beautiful pass over beautiful pass over beautiful pass. But this is the one that stood out to us. It was to Tim Duncan, and it was in 2006. Oh,
So this one, I guess it was in the playoffs against that play. I'm not sure if it was the playoffs, but I was just trying to drive, and I knew they were going to come because I like to go for my teardrop, and I saw them coming to block my shot, and Timmy was wide open.
Well, and then you have the top layup. It's at home against the Wizards. It was 2007, and I think...
Oh, I remember that one.
What do you remember,
Because I remember Michael Finney and Jacques Vaughn going crazy on the bench, and that was a good play when you try to be creative, and I was in trouble, but I find a way to score.
Oh, my. Well, it was pretty. And then there's this one, finding a way to score. It's top game winner. It's 2009 against Philly. The last seconds, off the offensive rebound. There it is.
Yeah, that was my first time. That was my first time hitting a game-winning shot. I had, like, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 in my career, but that was my first time that I hit a game winner. So that was a pretty good feeling. Very good feeling.
It still looks good all these years later. Tony, thank you so much for spending some time with us on NBA Today. Merci beaucoup. And go enjoy a glass of wine.
Thank you. I will. Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, that was fun. Still to come, we're going to revisit our top story of the day, DeAndre Ayton and its offer sheet, his offer sheet's impact on Kevin Durant. That's coming up after this.
You're watching NBA Today, live from Los Angeles.
Welcome back to NBA Today. WNBA star Brittany Griner was back in a Russian courthouse today, 1 week after pleading guilty to drug possession charges. It's been 147 days since Griner was arrested at a Moscow airport for cannabis possession. And so for more on Brittany Griner, we're joined now by ESPN investigative reporter TJ Quinn. TJ, what is the most important thing that happened today that our viewers need to know?
Well, it's interesting. You know, the news in court was that a teammate of hers and the team's GM in Russia spoke as character witnesses. What was more interesting was a comment from Russia's the spokeswoman for the foreign ministry. She repeated a comment that the deputy foreign minister made last week that the U.S. needs to tone down the rhetoric. They're sending very clear signals that whatever pressure there is in the U.S. to cut a deal, they don't want to hear about it right now, at least not publicly. They keep saying they want to let the trial play out. Experts and American officials I've talked to have said that it's a show trial, it's theater. But in Russia, they treat it as though it's serious, and they are asking the U.S. or demanding that the U.S. respect that proceeding. So we're probably not going to hear much about a negotiation until after they've gone through the trial.
Interesting. TJ, thank you so much. We will be covering this much more in the coming days as this continues to unfold. Our next WNBA game is Sunday, and it's the Aces versus the Sun at 1 Eastern on ABC and the app. Vegas set a record for points and a half earlier today with 71 en route to beating the Liberty 108-74 at Barclays Center. And speaking of Barclays Center, in 60 seconds, NBA Today has more on DeAndre Ayton's offer sheet and how Kevin Durant fits into that puzzle. We'll be right back.
Yeah, you can't hold me down.
Now Booker with Tucker on him. Throws it up for Ayton. Shot blocked by Antetokounmpo. What a block from Giannis. This building is shaking. Yeah.
That block was insane, but please do not forget that DeAndre Ayton is a beast. He averaged over 16 and 10 while shooting under 60% through his first four seasons in the NBA. Best field goal percentage in NBA history through four seasons among players to average 15 and 10. Just ahead of guys like, I don't know if you heard of this, Shaq, Charles Barkley, Dwight Howard, the man can play. And just 6 minutes ago, our Adrian Wojnarowski reported that the Suns, they haven't shown an interest in negotiating a sign and trade on Ayton with the Pacers, but the expectation remains that Phoenix will match the record $133 million offer. That's what sources are telling our ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. If the Suns match, Ayton has veto power on a trade for a full year. But for the last 2 weeks, gentlemen, we've been talking about how does Kevin Durant impact the dominoes of the rest of the league. Bobby, what's your take here?
Well, it doesn't eliminate Phoenix, but it certainly complicates things here because Ayton was never going to Brooklyn in a Kevin Durant trade because of the hard cap restrictions that Brooklyn has faced. However, if you remove Ayton from the mix, now how do you get to $35, $36 million in salary? And it would basically cost Phoenix to gut their roster, as far as when you look at player like Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder, Landry Shamet in a trade. That gets you up to $35 to $36 million. So they're not eliminated, but it certainly does complicate a lot of things here with Durant.
Nick, you are around the Nets day in and day out every day. If you're Brooklyn right now, are you looking at this at all and having it impact your plans?
You're waiting to see what Phoenix does. But Malika, in talking to not only Nets personnel, but people across the league in Vegas, nobody thinks this KD thing is going to happen anytime soon. If I learned anything being around this Nets team, it's that things can happen in an instant with them. But everybody involved seems to think that this thing is going to stretch out a long ways, potentially into the season. So right now, there are a lot of tough decisions that Phoenix has to make. But as far as Brooklyn goes and Kevin Durant's future, I don't think that changes that much in the moment.
Brian, do you see these two things as intrinsically linked in KD and DeAndre Ayton?
Well, the thing about it is that we know that KD really would like to be a Phoenix Sun, and the Suns are aware of this, and their offers to this point, from what I am told, have reflected that they believe that they have some leverage in that discussion, that other teams maybe wouldn't make offers for KD because of his desires, and it's one of the reasons why the Nets aren't really excited about anything that they've got on the table right now. The thing about this is, now at the end of the season, Malika, Robert Sarver, the owner, and James Jones, the team's general manager, both said in on-the-record interviews they were willing to go into the tax. This team has not been in the tax in 12 years. That is not a minimal statement. And matching on DeAndre Ayton offer sheet, which Woj has reported and I have also heard as well, would put them significantly into that tax. And then you talk about potentially a Durant trade pushing them even further into it. It's just not something the Suns have done in the past. So keeping Ayton on this type of salary, I don't know how wide open the door was on Durant to the Suns, but I think it, to a certain extent, dims that a little bit. And a lot of it may come down to the actual dollars that it would may take, because the Suns have a 60-win team here. Mm. If Ayton comes back, they still believe they have a championship-level team.
Well, we know how fickle these things can be, though. You can be a championship-level team at 1 minute, and then the next minute you're not. Tim Legler, how are you weighing all of this?
You know, I'm going to take a little bit of a different take on this. Perhaps this can get some other teams that we haven't really talked about into the mix, maybe, for Kevin Durant, because I have never viewed the return from Phoenix in Brooklyn's best interest. If it's not including Devin Booker, I never thought it was enough that you were going to get in return, even a deal involving DeAndre Ayton. So if this overcomplicates things now with the Phoenix Suns and trading with them, maybe now Sean Marks turns his attention to some other teams, because they don't owe it to Kevin Durant to make things easy for him and send him exactly where he wants to be. This may now actually be an impetus to look some other places, or maybe take some calls they haven't to this point.
It's certainly going to be interesting to see how this unfolds over the next couple of hours. It's going to do it for our show today, but we will continue to monitor exactly how this plays out. We're going to have more for you tomorrow. Gentlemen, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. We will all see you tomorrow right here on NBA Today. And for now, NFL Live is coming up next.